Well, again, welcome to Christ Covenant. So glad that you're here. And just real quick, I've got two exciting announcements to share. And then we're going to get to the message at hand, which I think is going to be life-changing. And I just got to say this, the message today could be the best one so far in this series. So hold on, it's going to be good. But just two quick things, just real fast. Number one, we're starting to see our growth track, our next one, filling up rapidly. And so if you're brand new to the church here, or even if you've been around for a while, and even if you're here before I got here, this would be a great next step for you on your spiritual journey. We talk about the vision of the house. I lead growth track. I speak there. We talk about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. We do talk about membership and volunteering, but it is really, we call it an hour of power, and you need to get signed up and join the several that have already signed up, and that's next Sunday after service. If you have children, we have childcare that's provided, but we just need to know that you're going to be there so you can sign up real quick online. Second thing, and I mentioned this for the first time last week, but we have, for our first time ever, at least since I've been here, and I've been here 11 months, we have our first Vision Sunday on Sunday, November the 4th. And so everybody in this room and those listening online, if you would consider Christ Covenant your church home, please listen up because I need you here in service, live and in the flesh, on Sunday, November the 4th. This is a critical Sunday for us as we talk about what's happened the last 12 months and we celebrate together. I told you last week, if you got pom-poms, bring them because we're going to celebrate big time. But also, I'm going to cast vision, what I felt like God has shared with myself, with us, of where we're going the next 12 months. And so again, if this is your home, you should be here. We already got something scheduled. You should reschedule it. I'm serious. And be here on that Sunday. I've never told you to reschedule something before, but you should for Vision Sunday. It's going to be really special, and it's important for you to be here if this is your church home. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for this to be your church home. Well, part three of our message series called Signal, Hearing the Voice of God, the Word of God, we're going to jump into 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so if you have a Bible with you, a Bible app, please turn there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't own a Bible or you don't have one, you'll see it on the screen if you're live here in person here in a second. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read starting in verse 14 all the way through verse 17. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And so you may not have that translation, and that's okay. You'll be able to hang with us. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, God's word says to you and to me this, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." Verse 15, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures," talking about the Word of God, the Bible, "from childhood. And they have been given to you," or they give you, excuse me, "the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." I'm calling this message today Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone. If you're taking notes, you should write that down. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I thank you for your people. I thank you for your dearly loved children, for we are all sons and daughters of the King. And I pray, God, for your kids. I pray for us today. I pray, God, that your word, your holy word, the voice of God, that it would impact us greatly this morning. For those here in this room and those that will listen later on in the week because they're out of town or the kids are sick, I pray, Lord, that you would impact us so greatly that we would never be the same. That literally our life would be transformed because of your word. I pray, God, for this message today that's burning a hole in my heart. I pray that as I speak it, as I speak your words from the Holy Bible, your word, God, I pray that it would change us, that it would equip us, that it would help us to live our lives better for you. I pray for some people today, all of us, that you would help us to fulfill the calling and the purposes that you have. Because God, we're not just here to suck air and die. We're here to make a difference in people's lives. We're here for a purpose and a reason for such a time as this. So may you impress your word upon our heart and may it change us, we pray. And if you want some of that, say amen with me. Amen and amen and amen. I've told you throughout this series, if you've been here a time or two, that probably the most asked question I get as a pastor is, how do I hear the voice of God? And we hear it all the time from people. They sit down with me in my office. They talk to me when I'm at a restaurant. Like, how can I hear God's voice? Because I can't really hear it. Like, what does he sound like? How is he trying to speak to me? Why can't I feel God? People ask that question all the time. And honestly, those are really great questions. But today, I want to do what Jesus did all the time. And I want to answer your question with a question. So here's my question for you, if you feel that way this morning. How come you never pick up God's word to hear his voice? If you're struggling hearing God, like, I just want to know, does he sound like Morgan Freeman? Or like I just want to know, like, what does God sound like? And it's a great question, but let me ask you today, when's the last time you picked up a copy of his written word? Because God's voice is not just audible, it's not just inaudible. How many of y'all know it's in red ink as well? And so God, he's already spoken, but so often we don't read his text messages. We ignore them. We clear them off of our hearts. And so you may be wondering, how come I can't hear God's voice? And I would answer your question with a question. When's the last time you picked up a copy of God's word? And not just on a Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday. Well, Pastor Ryan, I don't have the time. You know my schedule. I got young kids. I've got so much going on. I own my business. Pastor Ryan, I don't like to read. Even as adults, I meet so many that do not like to read. Pastor Ryan, when I do actually pick it up, I can't understand a word that it says. And friend, you can make all the excuses you want, but the problem's not with God. The problem's with us. And God's already spoken, and he wants you to understand, he wants you to hear, he wants your life to be changed by what he's trying to say to you. In fact, I'll say it to you again, you have every word from God that you need right here in this holy book. And so today, we're going to dig deep. Today, we're going to talk about some things that will be brand new for some, but also some things that some people got to relearn. Because how many of you know you could have learned something 10 times, but sometimes for whatever reason, on the 11th time, it finally makes a difference. And so today there's four truths about God's word, Holy Scripture, that we've got to get in our soul. And I hope that you'll write these down because y'all know note takers are history makers. Number one, the first thing about Scripture is we see that Scripture is essential. I would write that down. It's essential. What did God's word say to us a moment ago? It provides instruction for salvation. It's verse 15. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures. This is the Apostle Paul talking, writing a letter to Timothy, a young minister. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they've given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. I've told you many times if you heard me speak before, but we've got a 10-month-old baby girl, Nora, and we've got a 5-year-old son named Luke Thomas Weems. What a strong name, Luke Thomas Weems. So I talk about my kids all the time, and so I'm going to talk about them again for a second, but if you would come to my house and be a part of playtime, which it'd be fun, you should do that sometime, but if you would come be a part of that, you would understand that most of our playtime involves around this idea of role play, like using our imaginations. I remember when I was little and I pretended to be Indiana Jones, like I had a belt for a whip. Anybody know about Indiana Jones? Anybody? Just me? And so that was me, but that's not really so popular now. Plus, my son can't handle that. He's just 5, and there's some messed up stuff in those movies if you've seen them before. And so we'll pretend to be different things. And so we play superheroes all the time. And we go on Marvel and DC, if you're wondering. We cross the aisle. Like, we're not political about it. You know, either side's cool with us. And we'll be superheroes, and we'll battle. And it's just fun. We just use our imagination. We'll also be pirates, and I'll be Captain Hook, and he'll be Peter Pan, and we'll just be battling. I mean, it's just amazing at our house, all the things we pretend to be. Y'all wouldn't think it looking at me, but we have some dance parties in our house, y'all. I mean, it just gets wild and crazy. I mean, it's just fun what we do at our house. And recently, my baby girl, like, this works every time, but anytime she's upset, we begin to sing the Baby Shark song, and her whole world just changes. And if you haven't heard of that, Google it later. It will ruin your life for life. You're welcome. So we pretend to be all these things, and we use our imagination. So here's what I want to do this morning. I think it'll be helpful. But I want to bring you into my world for a second. So we're going to use our imagination just for a moment, okay? It's going to be okay. But let's pretend, for instance, that each of us collectively, we're going on a journey. Let's just pretend. We're going on a journey, and really here's what our journey looks like. We're on one side of a field, and we need to get to the other side. So we're on one side, we need to get to the other side, but here's the problem. The problem, just using our imaginations for a moment, the problem is that underneath the surface in that field that we've got to go across, there's a landmine field. And not just that, but there's other problems for us to get from here to there. We've got to go through deadly traps. We've got to avoid quicksand. Really think about the Maze Runner, if you've seen those movies or read those books. That's the situation that we're in. That's the bad side. Here's the good side. Even though all of that's true, we've been given a map. And not just any map, we've been given a field guide that will literally show us where every landmine is hidden. We've been given a field guide that will show us how to get around those deadly traps. We've been given exactly everything that we need to get across safely and quickly. And if that was true, I wrote down a few ways that maybe some of us would use that map. Here's a few things I wrote down, just four of them quickly. But for some of us in that imaginary situation, we might not use the map until tragedy strikes. Like, we get hurt, or, you know, we lose a limb, God forbid, or we can't get ourselves out of a situation on our own, and then we would read that map. Second thing I wrote down, for others, maybe you'd read it passionately and study it before the journey. Think like ACT and SAT prep when you were in high school, and you would just be all in before the journey, but then when you got on the journey, you would just hope that you remember what you read before. The third thing I wrote down, maybe for others, you'd refer to the map occasionally, but for the most part, you'd try to do it on your own. And then number four, maybe the last group, you think to yourself, you know what, I've got some pretty good life experience. I've done some things before. I've got some wisdom. I can probably figure this out on my own. And maybe for some of us, you wouldn't even read the map at all. And let me tell you something you already know in this imaginary situation. If we did any of those four things, we'd leave that field in a body bag. It's just the truth that you already know. So what would the wisest amongst us do? Again, I think this will be helpful. What would the wisest among us do? We would take that map before the journey, and we would read it, we would study it, we would memorize what it has to say. But not just that, every morning before we took a few more steps, we would get into that map again. We'd refresh ourselves. We'd look again at exactly which way we need to go and what we needed to do. It would be with us at all times. We would have it easily and readily available. And how many of you know, I'm not really using my imagination anymore. I'm not really talking about a journey. I'm talking about a spiritual journey. Because each of us, you face landmines. You face problems at your job, at your school, in your family. You go through some tough stuff. I've prayed with many of you of what you're walking through. We're not using imaginations anymore. This is your real life, the journey that you're on. But I got to tell you again that God has given us the map, the field guide to use. And you're out there bleeding on the field, and you shouldn't be, because God's already said enough to help you get where you need to go. Again, the problem's not with God. Like most times, the problem lies with us. And so what does Paul tell Timothy right away in our text? That the Bible the holy written word of God, the voice of God in text form, it's essential. You need it for everything, not just when you feel guilty or not just on Christmas or Easters, okay? Like every day of your life, you need it more than the air that you breathe. It's essential. Number two, the second thing we learn is that Scripture is reliable. It's reliable. We're going to spend a lot of time on point number two, and so I hope you're ready to write down a few things. It's really going to be something worthwhile. But we see at the beginning of verse 16 that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's inspired by God. In fact, I want you to know this, and we talk about this a little bit in Growth Track, if you'll be there next week after service. But we believe a few things here at this church, loud and proud about him, and this is one of those. We believe that the Holy Bible and only the Holy Bible is the authoritative word of God. We believe that around here, that it alone is the final authority in determining all doctrinal truths. So if somebody says, you know what, I think I've got a better way. Sorry, God's way is the best way. We believe in God's word. We believe three things about it, in fact. We believe God's word is inspired, inerrant, and infallible. And so I want to give you today, this morning, this is going to help somebody. I want to give you letters A through E of different ways that God will speak. But you got to know this, that we start with God's word and then we filter through the list I'm about to give you. And so if you ever thought to yourself at one point, man, I can't hear God's voice, these are going to help you. But we start with God's word. And by the way, please don't email me, but like what I'm about to give you is not an exhaustive list. Well, Pastor Ryan, you forgot one. I didn't write them all down, okay? Like don't email me about this, but these are some common ways that God speaks, but we start with his word first. Letter A, dreams and visions. I'd write that down. Dreams and visions. We see precedence in the Bible in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, which is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. I don't have time to go there. You can study it later. I hope you will. But we see here in many other places that God will speak sometimes by dreams or visions. And it's a powerful way that he speaks. Now, you may be wondering, well, does that mean that every dream and every vision that I have is from God? No. Like, I can't find a spiritual meaning for your dream about scary clowns. Like, I don't know how that translates. Like, maybe you shouldn't watch as many scary movies, and maybe that's what God's trying to say. I don't know. But, like, not every dream or every vision necessarily is from God, but it is one of the ways that God will speak. It's a powerful way. Letter B is people. God will speak through people. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and throughout Proverbs. We see that God uses trusted voices in prophetic ways to say the right things at the right times. Letter C is desires. Desires. This is Psalm 37, verse 4. If you are living by faith and in obedience, delighting yourself in the Lord, God can lead you through your desires. Now, before we go on to the next one, I want you to look at that list if you're here in the room. But you see there, dreams and visions, people and desires. You could see how those could be abused, right? You could see how those could easily be abused. That's why we start with the Rosetta Stone, God's word, and we filter through these. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, God told me to tell you this, and I thank them for their obedience, but I just know in my heart that wasn't for me. A lot of times people come up to you and they tell you a word, and really the word was for them, but they got so excited about it, so they thought it was for you. So God does speak through people, but you can see how there can be problems. That's why we start with God's word. Desires. Y'all can see very clearly how that one could be messed up. Well, God spoke to me. I want to have premarital sex and it's going to be awesome. And God said it's okay. No, no. Yes, sex is awesome in a marriage context. But God won't contradict what he's already said. So your desires, they could be sinful. And if they're sinful, they're not from God. But when you're honoring God, when you're living for God, when you're seeking his will and not yours, your desires match God's desires, so he'll speak that way. There's a difference. Letter D, I love this one. This is probably my favorite on the list. It's promptings. And you can use a lot of different verbiage to explain this one. But we see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, where the apostle Paul, he was compelled. It's powerful.
he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit compelled him to do something and to say something. So here's what we see. God will speak to us personally, audibly and inaudibly. What I mean by that is speaking to your spirit man, speaking to your mind, your heart. He'll do all those things. It's powerful. In fact, I'd write down another passage to study on your own. It's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. But you see there this beautiful story that there was an earthquake and there was a loud wind and there was all this commotion, but the Bible tells us that God wasn't in any of those things. But instead, he was in the still, small voice. And that's how he spoke. And so sometimes it's just an impression the Holy Spirit will put on your heart and your mind. I love what Mark Batterson says, and this won't be on the screen, but I love this quote. Here's what he says about the voice of God. He says, the Bible is the map and the Holy Spirit is the guide. And that's how it should work. The Bible's the map and the Holy Spirit is the guide. I do this pretty consistently, and I want to do it again this morning, but pretty much every series, I'll give you some books to study and to read on your own if you want to go deeper. And so I want to do that again this morning quickly. But there's two book recommendations I want to give you, and some will jot this down because you like to read like myself. But the first is Whisper by Mark Batterson. Whisper by Mark Batterson. And the second is Frequency by Pastor Robert Morris. He pastors in Dallas, where I'm from, Gateway Church. Whisper by Mark Batterson and Frequency by Robert Morris. And in Robert Morris's book, Frequency, he tells this beautiful story, personal story, of how the Holy Spirit prompted him. And I want to give it to you today because I think it's going to blow your mind like it did mine. But here's Pastor Robert. He's talking about him going to a dinner with his wife. And they're having dinner. And all of a sudden, there's another couple they've never met before that walks in. And they've got the woman there. And then you've got the man. And the man, he is like, he's what we say, swole. I mean, he's got muscles on top of muscles. Just picture me. You know, that's just what it is. Just right there. You weren't supposed to laugh there, but it's cool. Anyways, and so the guy, you could tell, like, he works out for a living, strong, just really right, all that's kind of going on. And so Pastor Robert, he's having dinner with his wife. He sees this couple, and instantly, the Holy Spirit just prompts him, shows him something, what we would call a word of knowledge. You see it in 1 Corinthians. God gives him this word, and Pastor Robert, he has like this debate with God, and I've had many of those debates, and I always lose those, by the way. But he's having this debate. He's trying to have dinner with his wife, and he's going back and forth like, God, are you sure that's you? You know, that kind of deal. I'm trying to have dinner. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm always doing stuff like this. Like, just give me a break kind of deal. He talks about this in his book, Frequency. But eventually, he gives over to the prompting of the Holy Spirit because he can't get past it. And so Pastor Robert, he takes a break from his dinner and he walks over to this couple he's never met. And he looks at them and he says, you know what? I don't want to come across weird or anything. And he knows that what he's doing is weird. I don't want to come across weird or anything, but I just felt like God spoke to me and I've got a word for you and I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. I'm trying to follow him. Would that be okay if I just take a couple seconds and share this? And they look at each other and they're like, okay, go ahead. And so he begins to share what the Holy Spirit prompted him to share. And so Pastor Robert, he talks about, when you walked in, I noticed something and God gave me a vision that I saw you as a little boy. And I saw you as a little boy and you're on the front porch of a house and you were crying. And not just that, but you were sitting on the lap of an older woman. I don't know where this, just what I felt God showed me. And you were sitting on the lap of that older woman and I think it's your grandma. And she was reading something to you and it was the Bible. And she was sharing this story about Samson. And if you're new to church, you don't know that story. But simply, it's a young man that God's favor was upon, and he lived for the Lord. And as long as he lived for the Lord, he was strong for the Lord. And so your grandma was reading you the story of Samson, and she made you a promise. She said, you know what, young man? If you'll live your life for God, he promises to make you strong. You see, the reason why you were crying is something had happened. And so God's told me, this is Pastor Robert talking to this man. So God told me something, and here's the last thing I want to say. That he's held up his end of the deal, but you haven't. Now, his heart's racing pretty fast because he just said that to Mr. Olympia, y'all. I mean, it's not. But he said, God's kept up his end of the deal, but you haven't. So moments seem like minutes. Maybe you've been in a scenario like that before. And all of a sudden, this strong, muscular guy, he breaks down. He begins to cry. Pastor Robert knew he was onto something at that moment. Guy starts to cry, and he says, hey, you need to sit down and listen to this. And he's like, yes, sir. And he sits down. And he begins to tell him what happened. You see, that did happen to me. I was little, and I was crying. But the reason why I was crying is because I was walking home, and some older boys, they threw rocks at me, and they cut me up pretty bad. And I was bullied and all of that. And so I was on my grandmother's porch. You see, my mom, she was a single mom, so she had to work all the time. So my grandmother basically raised me, and she did exactly what you said she did. How you knew that? She opened up her Bible, she read the story of Samson, and she made me that promise. And I remember, Pastor, I remember praying that prayer on that porch when I was a little boy, that God, if you'll make me strong, I'll live for you. And on our way to, it just gives me chills thinking about it. On my way to dinner with my wife, this is that muscular man talking, on the way to dinner with my wife tonight, I told her that story for the first time. And I told her that happened in my life, and I am so far from God. You see, Pastor, he told him, I've got money, I got fame, I've got strength, but I'm miserable. And I told her on the way to dinner tonight that story for the first time, that we've got to get our life right with the Lord. You know what happened next? Pastor Robert was able to lead them to the Lord in that restaurant. And not just that, but they were in church the next Sunday morning. I got to tell you today, God speaks. He speaks through promptings. He will. He'll speak something to you and want you to share it. This last one is just important, but it's the one I don't like and the one you won't like either. But letter E, God speaks through our pain. He speaks through our pain. Where do you see that in the Bible? It's the book of Jonah. In fact, if you're brand new here, it'd be something, I think, very special for you to go on our website and listen. We did a whole verse-by-verse study through the book of Jonah last January. We walked through this, and here's what we see. We see that God spoke to Jonah, but Jonah didn't like what God had to say. And so he disobeyed. And so God ended up speaking to Jonah through his pain. What I mean by that, I'm talking about the whale, the fish, swallowing him up 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a giant fish. I'm talking about the withered vine that you read about, that Jonah complained about. So I want to say this to somebody. This is a word for somebody today. I believe it. But think about this with me. You can ignore reading God's word. You can ignore God's audible voice. But pain can't be ignored. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it's the only way to learn the lessons God is wanting to teach. It's through our pain. In fact, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. Here's what he has to say. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God will use your pain even to get your attention. Don't be so quick to blame your circumstance on the devil. It could be God in his loving kindness trying to get across what he needs to say. Number three, the third thing you should write down in church today, Scripture is helpful. Scripture is helpful. It guides us into right living. I want to read to you the end of verse 16. Again, here's what God's word would say. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You got to realize today that every word from God is exactly what we need right here in this book. God's word will change you. God's word will restore you. God's word will heal you. It will help you. It will guide you if you'll let it. Let me tell you today, friend, every word, every letter, every punctuation mark is dripping with God's power. Like they're personal text messages to you. Well, Pastor Ryan, show me the chapter and verse where it says what job I should take. That's next week, okay? I'm half joking, but I'm half serious, because next week we're going to answer the question, probably the biggest one that you have: how do I know God's will for my life? So you should be here next week for that. God's going to speak. But God has given us his word, but we need to use it. In fact, I was thinking about this, and I remember when we first got married years ago, my wife and I. But you get presents when you first get married, y'all know that. And we got a lot of really cool things. But the thing that I loved the most and the thing she teased me about the most is we got one of those zero water filters. I don't know if you've seen those before. Like, they are fancy, like the good stuff. And so you can put nasty, disgusting water in those, and it will filter it all out. My wife would joke with me because I'd be telling everybody about that zero water filter, and I wasn't paid or nothing. I just loved the product so much because we had an apartment, and we had one of those old fridges. Like, now we just have it in part of our fridge, but we didn't have that. And so it was something that I valued so much. And what did it do? Again, it would take dirty water, and it would filter out the dirt. And then you had this absolutely just amazing crystal clear water. And I was thinking about God's word, and I was thinking about how God has really designed it in such a way that it should be the filter for our lives. So here's what I mean by this. I mean that if you're here today or you're listening online and you've got a dirty mouth, I'm talking about the things that you say, they're unholy, they're tearing people down, it's gossip. If that's you, you need to start using the Bible to be your filter for your words. In fact, if you're here today and you've got some nasty actions, you're doing a lot of things that we would call sinful, that do not honor God. In fact, they really don't honor anybody. But you're doing things that are wrong in the way that you operate at your job or at your school, the things that you do to others behind their back. If that's you today, God's given you a Bible filter to filter your actions through. If you're here today and you've got some bad thoughts, how many of you know we don't just have bad thoughts about others, we have bad thoughts about ourselves. We look in the mirror, we don't like the person looking back. We see the way that we do have this or we don't have that, or we got three chins and we just wish we had one. You know, like we see all of these things and we don't like the person that we are. Why'd you do that again? Why'd you say that again? And some of you need to begin to use the Bible to filter out your thoughts, because it's going to take you down and it's going to take other people down. I wrote this down. God gave this to me years ago. But if you get God's word in you, then you'll see the world stop coming out of you. If you get God's word in you, then you'll see the world stop coming out of you. So if you don't like your language, if you don't like the things that you're doing, the things that you're thinking, then you've got to get in God's word some more, because he'll filter out the bad. Number four, the fourth thing is this. Scripture is empowering. I'm going to check my mic again. Am I still on? I'm still on, I think, because I can't tell. Number four, Scripture is empowering. It's empowering. What did God tell us? It equips us for kingdom work. That's verse 17. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every work. I love this quote. I wish it was mine, but I'm going to steal it here today. Show me a person whose Bible is torn up, and I'll show you a person whose life is not. Now, I just picked this one up off the shelf, and I can't even read it. My wife can, because it's a Hispanic Bible. It's in Spanish, y'all. So I couldn't even read it if I wanted to. My wife can. She's fluent. She can read and write it. And so our Bible shouldn't look like this. It should be like the one in my office that's fallen apart, that's shredded, that's got pages that are half torn out, not on purpose, but just because it's worn. It's been used. God wants you to use it. Not just for yourself, for your own life, but so you can impact others' lives. It's what he wants for you. In fact, the Bible helps ready us to minister to a broken and hurting world all around us. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people at your job, at your school, in your family that are far from God, and you know it and they know it. So God's word, it's not just help for our lives, it's help for us to impact other people's lives. It equips us for every good work. But here's the problem, and this is not just a young person problem, this is for all of us, many of us. Here's the problem. When we look at a copy of God's word, and some of them are even thicker than this, I've seen Bibles that are so big, I mean, they're like a weapon, not spiritually like it says in God's word, but they're heavy. And so the problem is, and I've seen this with so many, that we look at this big book, and we're used to reading articles that we see on Facebook. We see this big, massive book, and it reminds us of our first semester of college, that English class, where there's that book that we had to read, and we tried, but we didn't understand it, so we just watched the movie. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, it reminds us, it's this big, daunting task. And maybe you picked it up before and you tried to read it and you're like, there was too many thous in there and too many thuses. And who talks like that? And we see this and it can be so intimidating. But here's what I found out. That God would rather you read for 1 minute a day than 0 minutes for the year. God would rather you be in his book, the good book, for 30 seconds a few times a week than you just to read it on a Sunday morning. Think about eating that sparingly. If you only ate once a week, you would be anemic. You'd be in the hospital. But for so many of us, we just read once a week. You are malnourished. And it's not because the preaching is bad. It's good, y'all. I'm just saying, it's good. I don't even need a mic. That's how loud I am. It's not enough. An hour and 15 minutes once a week. And let's be honest, most people attend twice a month now. It breaks my heart. I hate that stat. And I like stats, but I hate that one. I wish it'd be different, and I think it can be. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Please, please, please hear me. It's not enough. God wants you to get into his word every single day. You know, if you research an average reader, which would be a lot of us. I like to read, but I count myself an average reader. I'm not a speed reader. If you're an average reader, to read the entire Bible in 1 year would take 50, please, please, guys, please. It would take 54 hours. Average reader, 54 hours in 1 year to read the whole Bible. For somebody, you need to make that your mission this next year, January of 2019. That's not too much. But I know that's still daunting for some, so let's break it down even further. If you were to read the whole New Testament, Matthew, Jesus on the scene, all the way through Revelation, about end times. If you read Matthew through Revelation in 1 year, it'd only take you 24 hours. 24 hours in a year! That's a couple of minutes today, if a day, if that. It's not as daunting as we make it to be. I know y'all. And y'all watch more than that in 1 week in your Netflix show, okay? It's 24 hours. If you want to see the world stop coming out of you, you got to get God's word in you. Well, Pastor Ryan, I can't hear his voice. Well, it's because you won't pick up his book. Well, Pastor Ryan, why don't I know how to do this? And how I can't feel God. You got everything that you need right here. It's the Rosetta Stone. Start here, start here, start here. Bow your heads with me, close your eyes. Lord, I pray for your people right now. No one talking but me. I pray for your people. I pray, God, that they were challenged by your word. God, you haven't called this house, you haven't called your people to be Sunday morning Christians. Christianity is not an add-on. It is our life. It's not a part of our life. It is our life. And I just pray for the Christ followers in the room first. I don't pray condemnation. I don't pray guilt. I just pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God, they would feel and sense right now in this holy moment that you're calling them to more. They're frustrated, they're burnt out, they're bleeding on the battlefield, but they don't have to. You've provided the map, the field guide. It's reliable, it's helpful, it's essential. It's empowering. I pray, God, that we would make a decision right now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed that we're gonna live the kind of life that's devoted to Jesus. That we're gonna dig into the word, even if it's just a couple of minutes a day. We're gonna start there. And not just that, but I pray, God, for those in the room that maybe they have picked up your good book and maybe they have got into it some, but they still feel like they're not getting those promptings or they're not feeling you give them this vision or this dream. They're just not in that place. I just pray, God, for more. I pray, God, that they would see you speaking. They would hear you speaking, that they would sense you speaking in their lives. that whether it be through a prompting or whether it be through pain, that their ear would be turned towards what you have to say. I pray that for your people. And I pray lastly for those underneath the sound of my voice. And I don't know if it's one or I don't know if it's many, but I pray for anyone here today, Lord, that they're far from you. That God, they look at their life and no one has to point a finger in their face. They sense right now in this moment, it's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that they're not where they need to be. You're not looking for perfect people. You're looking for people that would surrender their lives to you. To let you be the guide. American Christianity, God, it's so twisted. We ask you to jump in the driver's or in the passenger seat, and then we're in the driver's seat. But God, that's backwards. When we give our life to you, you get in the driver's seat. We get in the passenger seat and we go wherever you want us to go. We do whatever you want us to do. So I just pray for anyone underneath the sound of my voice, live in this room or listening online. I pray, God, if they are in such a place where they're far from you, I pray, God, that they would surrender, like truly surrender. You're not an add-on. You're not an additional thing that we add to our lives. I pray, God, they would surrender all today. So eyes closed, heads bowed, please. No one looking, no one speaking but me. No distractions right now. But if there's anyone here, you're far from God. You can just, God's speaking to you right now. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If that's you today, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna brush you off to some other room. There'd be nothing wrong with that, but right where you're seated, right where you're at, I'm gonna ask you to lift up your hand so I can pray with you today. I see that hand, anyone else? You're far from God. Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over the place. Thank you, God. You can put them down. Eight hands up just a moment ago. Anybody else? God, you're so good. You're so good. The eight that raised their hand a moment ago, and if you're listening online and you're like, that's me, God sees you. He knows you. So everyone that raised their hand physically or even in their heart, I want to give you a chance to repeat a prayer. I say this every week, but it's worth repeating every week. It's not a magical prayer. It's not say it the right way with the right attitude and the right this and the right that and then God. No. Romans 10:9 tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, like you make him your God personally, you believe in your heart. Jesus, he died on the cross, but not just that, he rose from the dead. If you'll do those things, you can know that you'll be in heaven one day with the Lord, that you'll be saved. You can have that confidence. Now, it's the beginning of your journey, not the end, but you can know that today. So the eight that raised their hand here in this room and any others that spiritually you just raised your hand on the other end listening, repeat this after me, and I'm going to ask all the Christ followers to repeat it as well to support you and your commitment to the Lord. Repeat this. Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
For coming in.
And speaking so clearly.
Today.
I hear your voice.
And I know your love. And so Jesus. I confess. That you are my God. Jesus, I believe. That you died on the cross. That you rose from the dead. And I ask you now. To forgive me. Of every sin. Of every mistake. I put my trust. My belief. My everything. In your hands. Come on, tell him this today. I surrender all. Have your way.
In my life.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you get a little rowdy? Come on, I know it's Sunday morning. I want you to stand to your feet with me if you're able to all across the house today. For the eight of those in the room and any online, you could come during the week to pick this up, but I've got in my hand, and you'll see a slide behind me if you're in the room, a Start Bible. This is the book of John. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. This is your great place to start in reading God's word. This little thing's a lot less intimidating than the one I was holding up all service. And there's a reason for that, because you got to start somewhere. There's also a letter in there from myself to you, and there's a connection card if you'd like to let us know about the decision so we can step beside you. But they're for free. They're set out in the back, no questions asked. You don't have to give a DNA sample. It's going to be all good. It's right there in the back. Please pick one of those up. If you know somebody that needs that, pick that up as well. Myself and a few others will be here at the front, and we'll stay as long as we need to. We want to pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, if you got a big interview coming up, or there's some issues going on in a relationship you care about, whatever it is, good, bad, ugly, we're here to pray with you at the front as those of you, the rest will be dismissed. And lastly, thirdly, make sure you're here next week, because we're going to talk exactly about how do I know God's will for my life. If you got a big decision in front of you, you've been struggling with that question, you're going to get answers next week from God's word. It's going to be helpful for you. I love you. You are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.